ان الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى اله واصحابه ومن تبعهم باحسان الى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم التنزيل بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكه الا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وابشروا بالجنه التي كنتم توعدون صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, first and foremost, all praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah. And we ask Almighty Allah Ta'ala to send His choicest blessings and peace upon Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his family, his companions, and those who are to follow his footsteps in the day of Qiyamah amongst the men and the women from the mu'mins. Respected brothers, with the grace of Almighty Allah, we are in the days of Ayyamut Tashriq. So most of us, we spend most of our time in strengthening our ties, our family bonds. We visit them, our visitors, our relations, so that we unite each other, we get together. This is one of the shi'ar, a symbol of Islam, which is done during the time of festival. Respected brothers, if we take to a far-sightedness for an example, rather than comparing only ourselves with the bonds which we have with our families, if we are to enlarge that picture, and if we are to go even more far distance, we could see that if we can make the bond which we have with the humanity perfect, that's going to be the real akhlaq of a real mu'min. So in today's khutbah, which I would like to briefly speak about, is how each and every Muslim could make another Muslim happy. That's going to be my talk, inshallah. So firstly, respected brothers, let us see, when do we consider a human being to be a human? Maybe outwardly he might be dressed with attractive clothing, maybe the clothing which he wears will be valuable, thousands and thousands, but if that man is devoid of good character, we are not going to give him respect at all. Because a man is judged by character, but not by his appearance. That's what an Arabic poet, he says, Ya khadim al jismi lam tasqa bi khidmatihi atatlubu ribha fima fihi khusranu aqbil ala ruhi fastakmil fadailaha wa anta bin nafsi la bil jismi insanu. He says, Ya khadim al jismi kam tasqa bi khidmatihi. Or the one who is doing a service to his own body, he is bothered about his physique, he is bothered about his appearance. Or the one who is bothered about your own appearance, atatlubu ribha fima fihi khusranu. Do you want to seek something fruitful? Do you want to gain some advantage by spending your time in which is going to be useless? Because one day when we are buried inside that grave, the body, the physique, the figure we are having, we might look beautiful, we might look fair, we might look dark, or we might be tall or short or whatever. But one day is going to come that each one of us will be buried in the grave, and that within a few hours, it's going to be a bad smell, a bad odor is going to come out of that grave if we are to dig it out again. So that is the halat, that is the reality of a human body. So this Arab poet says, are you man bothered about your own physique so much, but you have neglected one fact? He says, Aqbil ala ruhi, focus towards your own self, focus towards your own akhlaq, your morals, your etiquettes. Fastakmil fada'ilaha. Every human being inherently has been given something natural, he has got some good character in him. So man, focus your attention on perfecting your manners. And finally he says, فَأَنْتَ بِالنَّفْسِ لَا بِالْجِسْمِ إِنسَانُ. You are considered to be a human being only if you have got good character, not because of your appearance. So respected brothers, it might be a person hasn't got any wealth in this world, he doesn't look smart, he is not well off, whatever said and done, it's not going to play a role when it comes to character. A person who doesn't own a single cent, if that man has a smile on his face, he could capture hearts of thousands of men. So respected brothers, let us look at our own situation. For an example, every man expects things from others. A father expects that the son should respect him. The son expects that the father should give his right over his fulfill the right which he owes towards him. The husband expects his wife, and the wife expects from the husband. So on. Every person has got some responsibility in his life. He expects some other person to fulfill his responsibility first. But rarely we see that people are bothered of making, fulfilling their responsibility towards others. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the deeds which are the most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the obligatory ones, it is to make a Muslim brother happy. Respected brothers, maybe we have to go, we have to undergo some sort of difficulty, maybe to fulfill his need, or maybe to visit while he is sick, or maybe we have to go to his, we have to attend to the invitation, and etc. But the difficulty we are going to undergo, the undertake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. Such a big reward is kept for the person who pleases another Muslim brother. And also, respected brothers, if we take in a worldly perspective, we see if a person is given the responsibility of marketing a product, he's given the responsibility of marketing a certain product, he spends his time, he learns, he almost gives up everything to perfect the manner in which he markets the product. Why is it? Because he wants to achieve the objective behind his marketing. He wants to draw a good salary end of the day. He wants to attain a certain post. And every human being, if he is given some responsibility, he wants to perfect it, and he wants to do it in a very good manner so that he could achieve the benefits and he could achieve the objectives. But respected brothers, an avenue, a part which is neglected by most of the human beings is that he has forgotten to win the hearts of people. To win the hearts of people is neglected, but we want others to understand our situation. But we are not ready to understand their situation. Respected brothers, for an example, let us take, we enter into a gathering, maybe a walima or a function where the people are seated. And when we enter, we greet a person who is unknown to us. So he stretches his hand out and he handshakes and he gives us assalamu alaikum. But his salam was different because he didn't know about us, he was unaware of us. So we greet the second person. He was busy talking to another person, so he just stretched his hand out and he just left us, khalas. And then the third one comes in the scene. He stands up, he greets, and he says, come take a seat. And he moves, he treats this person very well. Respected brother, out of these three men, obviously the third person is going to touch our hearts. Even though we might not know whether he has got a degree or whatever his profession, about his bank balance, we don't know anything about all that. But that man was able to capture this person who entered into the room within few seconds. He didn't even spend a single cent to win the heart of that person. Respected brothers, we have to become such human beings. That moral, that etiquette has to come into every Muslim. It is not going to be restricted to Muslims alone. It is also, we could practice this amongst the non-Muslims as well. As we progress, there will be few instances where we could practice this as well. So, respected brothers, we must know that people love us not because of our money. Maybe one day a person can be wealthy, he might be rich, but he mustn't forget there is a possibility that he can become poor. But if a person is loved and everybody befriends him because of his wealth, when this man becomes poor, nobody is going to be in his company. Nobody will dare to sit with him because they are not going to get an advantage. But people, genuinely, people love us for what we say, what we speak, what we utter. And they love us because of our smile. And they love us because of our gentleness. These three sifat, we see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed in his life. So, when we take our day-to-day life, respected brothers, we see a father, for an example, he provides food, clothing, shelter, and everything for his whole family. For his wife, his children, he looks after them very well. But he has neglected one part. He has forgotten to win the heart of his son. That's what we see, that so many fathers, they had spent so much on their food. I say they have not won the hearts, but they have won the stomachs of those children. Respected brothers, when this child encounters a problem in his life, he comes across some difficulty, he has a problem, he wants to share it with somebody, he wants somebody to advise him, whom do you think he goes to? He goes to his closest friend, or he goes to his class teacher, or he goes to a khatib in the masjid. Why did he approach that man? Because that person, even though he was out of the house, he was able to win the heart of this young boy. Respected brothers, it is not only related to fathers or whatever, it is related to every human being. Day to day, we interact with so many people. In our lives, We interact with so many people, maybe in our offices, in our home, in our locality, so many people we interact with. If we are unable to win the hearts of those people, respected brothers, it is utter failure. So, if every human being focuses on making other people happy, this world would be an example of paradise. Because there won't be anybody who will be jealous of somebody else. He will not envy. He will not plot and plan against his brother. This whole world would become an example of paradise if a human being starts making other people happy. Respected brothers, just because we mentioned to make everybody happy, it doesn't mean that we have to help our brothers in sinning as well. Maybe a friend of ours will call us to do something haram. We cannot say, I want to make him happy, so I want to indulge in this sin. No, Islam doesn't permit that. We are, as far as the actions are permissible, as long as it is in the boundary of Sharia, Islam encourages, Islam teaches us to make that Muslim happy. But wherever it is out of the boundary, no Muslim is allowed to take part in those activities. So I would like to mention a few things which we can practice easily. We need not spend much of, spend a lot of time for those amal, but it's very easy. One is to have a smile in our face. To have a smile in our face. Generally, when it comes to sadaqah, we think it is always related to monetary. It's related to some money. When we speak about sadaqah, we think we have to give some. We have to give a needy person around 100 rupees or 50 or whatever. We think only on that side. But rather, the field of sadaqah is vast and big. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَبَسُّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَةً. You having a cheerful face when you meet your Muslim brother, that is considered to be sadaqah. So did a person spend a cent for that, a rupee? He didn't spend anything, but he has got the reward of paying away sadaqah just because of a smile on his face. Respected brothers, we see that certain people, they have got a frown on their face. They have got a frown on their face. It is as if they smile, they are going to lose their wealth or they are going to lose their age. You know, there is going to be some decrease in their age or wealth. They don't smile at anybody. They are stingy. But respected, we are not going to lose anything. Just a cheerful face when you meet a Muslim brother. Or whether we meet anybody, maybe we want to ask the directions when we are on our way. We don't know the place. Maybe we could stop, then have a smile and then talk to a person. We are not going to lose anything. When a person has a smile, the other person who is being spoken to, he feels comfortable. When we meet somebody, when a person looks at us and smiles, we feel comfortable. That's what we see. When it comes to marketing and stuff, they teach how you should smile. Why do they teach how you smile? That is the way you approach a person. That is the first impression. When you have that smile correct, you have got the other things done. Your smile is going to tackle the whole thing out. Respected brothers, we see Jarir radiallahu anhu, he says regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met me, he would smile. This was the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he met Jarir radiallahu anhu, he had a broad smile on his face. And for an example, maybe a few of us are teachers or lecturers, we are working in offices, maybe we are managers or whatever. Respected brothers, when we enter the place, if we have a smile on our face, it's going to be a pleasant day there. A teacher enters into the class, and he greets the children with a smile. The crowd is going to enjoy that class. They are going to enjoy that teacher. We see so many times, I mentioned these examples as well. Maybe a teacher passes by a corridor. There are so many students flocking at that teacher. They want to meet him, talk to him, get advice. And they want to put out their problems and get solutions. But there is another teacher who walks by the same corridor at school. Nobody dares to go in front of him. Why is it, respected brothers? Because that teacher is known for his very tough nature, rigid nature. So nobody wants to approach him. But if a man has a broad smile in his face, everybody would approach him. Everybody will know that this man has got good akhlaq in him. Respected brothers, we see an example in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, a brave man who controls emotions and smiles in the darkest of moments, he is the real man. During difficulty, a person is able to smile, he is the real human being. A very nice example which happened at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu was walking with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam down the road. Then all of us know the Bedouins of Arabia, they are very hard people. You know, they don't know manners, they don't know etiquettes, they don't know what, they live in the village, and they are very hard people. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was walking down the road and he was wearing a cloak which was very thick material. So he had covered himself. So when he was walking, this Bedouin comes and suddenly this Bedouin holds on to this cloak of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and drags him and puts him down. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam falls and Anas radiallahu anhu says, "I was really upset when I saw this sight, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is dragged and put down, and this man is from, he's a Bedouin, so they couldn't do anything. And he saw the mark on the neck of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after this thing." And this Bedouin says, "Ya Muhammad." He didn't say, "O Messenger of Allah." He did not say, "Ya Rasulullah." He said, "Ya Muhammad, give me something of your wealth." So just imagine if this thing happens to us, what would be our reaction? But let us see how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reacted there. He said, he got up and he had a smile on his face. He looked at that Bedouin and he said, "You want wealth? Okay, well." He commanded some of his companions, he ordered them, "Just give this man some wealth and just send him off." We see at that time, that was a very hard moment to smile. Every person will have a frown on his face at that time. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the best teacher for this whole universe, he had that broad smile in his face and he was able to fulfill the need of that Bedouin. Just think, if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has either fought back or retorted back or shouted at him, do you think that the injury which was caused in his neck would have healed? No. It's not going to heal. It's going to be a temporary thing. We see generally at home, maybe our kids do something naughty. Maybe they break something, a glass or whatever. The reaction we get at that time, respected brothers, is going to prove our real character. Do we approach them in a very kindly manner? Or do we approach them in a very harsh manner? If we approach them in a very kindly manner, we are going to be their beloved. They will not forget us forever. At the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was a Sahabi who was very young, very small boy. He used to sit by the Sahan and eat, you know, he used to have his meals. So when all the Sahaba were seated with him, you know, he was a small boy, he didn't know the etiquette of eating in the Sahan. So he used to, his hand used to roam all over the place. So one day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tapped him and said, "Oh son, when you start eating, you mention the name of Allah, you eat with your right hand, and you should eat from what is in your side." He spoke to that young boy in a very gentle tone. He never shouted at him, screamed at him. So this Sahabi, after he's grown up, when he's narrating this hadith, he says, "From that day onwards till today, I have practiced all three sunnahs in my life." Imagine, respected brothers, maybe our children, our little ones at home, they do things naughty, that's their nature. But how do we approach them? And also, we should always think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given more preference to those who are fair over the black ones, or those who are Arabs over the non-Arabs. No, everybody in the court of Allah are the same. So we should make it a habit. Maybe we have a smile in our face, but we should see that we smile at the poor ones as well. We see so many people have been disregarded in society. Maybe a man who works as a security guard in some place, whether he's a Muslim or not, if we have brought a smile in our life, you know, we have inculcated that habit. When you meet this man, he's a poor man, nobody bothers to speak to him, nobody bothers to greet him. At that moment we go to him and we say, "Assalamu alaikum, how are you?" And we smile. Don't you think that this man is going to pray for you? The whole day he would have met thousands of people, but he was the only man who came to him and spoke to him, who addressed him and just spoke to him a few words, a greeting. If he's a non-Muslim, a greeting. Maybe we go to the petrol shed to get some fuel pumped. Maybe while we pay our cash or something, we can have a smile on our face. We are not going to lose anything. Maybe we go to the grocery in the morning to buy something. When we go, we say good morning. If he's a Muslim, we say salam to him. It's going to be pleasant. This whole world will look very nice to live. But respected brothers, we have forgotten all this, and we have forgotten it, but we have to try and implement these things in life. And also, respected brothers, smiling and laughing moderately. You know, laughing moderately refers to, you know, not excessively. It is mentioned in certain books that laughing moderately could be a cure for depression. You see, people with depression, their faces prove that they are depressed. A man has a pleasant face, that's going to prove that this man is living a happy life. He hasn't got any problems. So they say that the mirror of the heart is the face. Everybody can conceal whatever they have, their problems in life. But that face, the impression on the face is going to prove what is really in your heart. That's why when we meet our friends, we say, something wrong? I see your face. You know, you look dull today. Look dim today. What's wrong? He's feeling something disturbing him. He's depressed. So when a person has a habit of laughing moderately, not excessively, moderately, it could be a means of cure for his depression. That's why Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, I make it a practice to laugh to give rest and comfort to my heart. This is a sahabi. He says, I make it a practice to laugh to give rest and comfort to my heart. So respected brother, maybe we are seated at home with our family. We could just have some jokes there. We could sit and laugh for some time moderately, not excessively. Because excessively, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person who laughs excessively, the heart darkens. It becomes hard. He won't be able to cry in the presence of Allah. The zikr of Allah will not be sweet for him because his heart has become hard. So not excessively, moderately. Only then we can make even the environment at home sweet for our children to live. We will enjoy that. Maybe early in the morning, a son, when he gets up in the morning, when he meets his parents, he could have a smile on his face and say, Assalamu alaikum mama. Or he could call his father and etc. Maybe a husband meets his wife early in the morning with a smile. That day is going to be pleasant. Very easy good deeds, respected brothers. And finally, with regard to smile, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tahkiranna minal ma'rufi shay'a. Do not underestimate any good deed. Do not underestimate any good deed. Don't think it insignificant. Walau an talqa ahaqa bi wajhin talqin. Even if you are to meet your Muslim brother with a cheerful face, don't underestimate that. Don't underestimate that deed. You're going to meet a Muslim brother with a smile on your face. And a second thing, one is smile, and secondly, it is to joke in a friendly manner. It is to share life moments in life with others. Even this is going to bring joy to others as well. So respected brothers, when we see our community, the environment we live in, generally when a poor man, he puts forward something which is a humor or a joke, nobody bothers to laugh. Because only when the rich ones bring forward something interesting, we are interested in laughing. It shouldn't be the case, respected brothers. It should be as the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rich or poor, a person is trying to make us happy, we also should make him happy. A person is speaking to us, expecting us that we would pay attention to him. If we don't pay attention to him, we feel, you know, he would feel very bad. He will not approach us again. And one of the best stories, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his companion, there was a companion by the name Zahir bin Haram radiallahu anhu. He used to live in the outskirts of Medina. He was from the outskirts. He wasn't a person dwelling in the city. So he was a villager. So he used to come to Medina to do his transactions. He used to do business. So he used to come to the marketplace of Medina. And he used to, you know, he was a vendor there. So what happened was, respected brothers, so one day, generally what he used to do when he comes to Medina, he used to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would give some gifts to him. And when he returns, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give him some gifts and send him back. So this was the routine. So one day he had come to Medina. He was finding for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he didn't find him. So what he did, he went to the market and he started to sell his things. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed that Zahir had come to meet you. So this man was he wasn't very attractive. He was ugly. You know, he was well known for his, nobody approached him. Very rarely they moved with him. So he was not good looking. So when he came to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was missing. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to meet this sahabi. Respected brother, look at the character of our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's going to meet a sahabi. He's going to meet his companion who is not looking good, who is not well off, who is not wealthy, who is not counted as the top ones in society. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking and is going to the marketplace. So he sees Zahir radiallahu anhu selling his stuff. So what did he do there? He went behind this sahabi, hid himself, and he clasped his hand over the eyes of Zahir radiallahu anhu. So Zahir radiallahu anhu was trying to, you know, get rid of, he didn't know who was this, but he was trying to, you know, get rid of this thing. Finally he saw it was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he leaned on the chest of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, look at this scene, what happens there. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled, and he said, "Man yashtari hadha al-abd?" Who is going to buy this slave? who is going to buy this slave? He made this announcement in the bazaar. So this Zahir radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, you want to sell me, I'm going to be very cheap. You know, you won't find a good price for me. You know, look at the way Nabi Sallallahu interacted with the poor. He said, even though you are not valuable in the eyes of people, in the court of Allah, in the eyes of Allah, you are a very valuable man. Look at the beautiful akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Maybe our little ones, we could just have some light moments like this. They're going to enjoy it. They will love us. They will make dua for us. Even if we are missing, they will feel somebody is missing at home. It is not only money and wealth and food and etc. But we have to win the hearts of people, respected brothers. People should feel that we have missed so and so. We cannot wait till we meet him. That akhlaq has to come into our life. And also, thirdly, the final akhlaq which we could develop easily is to be very gentle in life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الرِّفْكَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ. Verily, whenever gentleness is found in something, it adorns that thing. If something has gentleness in it adorns that thing. And also, وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. And likewise, if gentleness is removed, is taken off from something, that thing is going to be not valuable at all. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَيُحْرِمُ الرِّفْكَ يُحْرَمُ الْخَيْرِ. Whoever is deprived of goodness, whoever is deprived of gentleness, is deprived of goodness. If a person hasn't got gentleness in his life, he's not a gentle character, he hasn't got a mild approach, it's going to be very difficult for him to survive in society. So, I would like to mention an incident which took place at the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam again. It was a young boy. He comes to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was in the gathering, so the companions were surrounded and they were seated with him. So this young boy comes forward. You know, he came forward and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to commit fornication, I want to commit zina. You know, the Sahaba were upset. This Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is preaching what is halal and haram, and he has said this is haram. This man has got the tendency, he has got the guts to come forward in the front of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and speak to him in this way. And they got up and they said, silence, don't, stop. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave him alone. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, come forward son, you can come forward, come sit next to me. And this boy, young boy comes, and he comes and he said, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission, I want to commit fornication. Respected brother, if this same scene was to take place in this zaman, just think how the approach would have been. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never reprimanded him, never scolded him. He said, Ya, O son, okay, this is the problem you have. Do you love that if somebody fornicates with your mother? Then that boy replies, Ya Rasulullah, no, I would not like that. He said, I don't want that to happen. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kindly replied, it is the same thing. If you commit fornication with someone, it's going to be somebody's mother. Then he asked, do you like somebody to fornicate with your sister, and then daughter, and your aunt, your maternal aunt and paternal aunt, and etc. The questions continued. Nearly five questions, the same questions were posed by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very gentle way. And this sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't want all these things to happen. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam finally said, oh my son, if you are to fornicate, this is the same story. Either the one you enjoying is going to be a daughter of somebody, either the sister of somebody. So don't have this in your heart. And finally, what did he say? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed the chest in that young boy and he said, Ya Allah, forgive the sins of this young boy and purify this boy's heart. Protect his private area from haram. It is mentioned in the riwayat of Ahmad that when immediately this dua was made, that boy changed. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I hate this habit of zina. And from that day onwards, there wasn't a deed which was hated by that boy as zina. Respected brothers, these three sifats which were mentioned in this khutbah, I think if we can bring them into practice, there will be a big change in our life. One is to have a smile in our face, one is to be very gentle with people, and also to share, to have light moments in life with our children, with our friends and etc. They are going to enjoy our company when we are with them. And there are many numerous incidents we could quote, but I think a few would be enough if you have to take lessons. If we are to read about the leniency, the mildness of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see so many incidents. There was one When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once inside the masjid, a Bedouin comes inside the masjid and he starts urinating. You know, inside the masjid, if somebody starts urinating, what's going to be the case? He starts to urinate. The Sahaba, the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saw this. They couldn't resist, like they couldn't wait. This man is doing this thing inside the masjid. Immediately they wanted to stop him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the whole scene. He said, stop, don't disturb that man. Let him relieve himself. So the Sahaba stopped. So after this man had relieved himself, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him. And he said, sit down. He ordered a companion of his, just pour a bucket of water over there. Then the water was poured. And he said to this man, oh, you might be a Bedouin. He said, this place we have come to, this is the place where we worship Allah. This place is not meant for you to urinate or to make it impure. So what you did is wrong. See that you don't commit this again. This was the approach that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with that man. It is said that when that man went to his village, he said, I have not met a person who was so lenient in my life. Respect to the wife, these things are practical. You can practice these things in life. But we don't think so far. If we think, and if we are to bring these things, inshallah, we ask Almighty Allah that He gives these sifat in our life and make us follow them and make us beloved to the people and make us beloved to Him as well. Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد أيها الإخوة الكرام فإني أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله وأحذركم يوما عبوسا قمطريرا قال الله تبارك وتعالى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون بارك الله لنا ولكم بالقرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. For more lectures, visit slhub.com.